Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello. How are you? We're live. This is the Eddie Jones Talk Show. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things. We're going to be talking about what's going on. We're going to be talking about the clans today. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. Listen to the music. Enjoy the show. We're going to have a really hot show. We're going to have Mrs. Simpson on today. We're going to talk about gang violence, and we're going to talk about the Ku Klux Klan. Can you believe it? I can't believe we're still talking about the Klan. This is like way out ridiculous, but we are. Hold on, okay? We'll be back. Right. Can you guys, if you're out there right now, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio, and you know, it's a good morning, August the 4th. I just made it back from camping, and what a great camping trip it was until it started raining. I don't know if you guys heard about all those storms out there, but the weather was, it was definitely nature taking its course, and glad we came down out the mountains when we did, because it was nice. But the rain and mud don't mix for camping. All right. We have some very, very hot topics here on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. One of the hot topics that we're going to discuss right now, and I'm going to talk about it, a letter came to me on Facebook. The letter was from, I guess, a member of the Ku Klux Klan. And I'm basically not going to read the letter, and I'll tell you why. I don't want to give them any more energy than I have to. Anyone that's anti-everybody is not good. If you're anti a certain culture, anti a certain religion, anti a certain whatever, race, creed, color, ethnic background, anti whatever, that's wrong. The world is going through enough already without any hate. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, and we're not going to get it if we're hating on each other. Now let's use some examples. For instance, right now, if a major earthquake, 8.5 earthquake came right now, everyone would need to help everyone. It wouldn't matter what color you are, it wouldn't matter what your ethnicity is, it wouldn't matter what race, creed, religion. If you see somebody out there in the street struggling from the earthquake, it would be the right thing to do is to help each other. Okay? Why does it take for something tragic to happen before we can all come together? Why do we have to wait till there's a major fire, or a major earthquake, or a major tornado, or something? Why can't we just come together? Why can't we, like Rodney King said, why can't we just all get along? Well, this is really, the letter really, it touched me. I read the letter, and in so many words, it was saying, you people, and that includes any ethnic background or any other religion or race besides this one culture, which is the Klan culture, the Ku Klux Klan, let's get that right. They're saying that they want us to continue to kill each other. They want us to continue to hate each other. They want us to continue to shoot each other. And I hope to God that there's some young people listening right now, because young people, the future is yours, okay? Young people, you have to do something about this type of activity. And the best thing that you can do, and the best thing that we all can do, is continue to work together like we've been doing, and show this small group of people that they don't have the authority or the power to control other people with things that they write in a little letter with no signature at the bottom saying who it came from or what it came from or anything. So that's why, to me, I don't even know if it's an authentic letter. But just the fact that it came on Facebook and it's talking about people and it's talking about certain races and cultures, I think that that's something that we need to talk about. You have my number here. If you want to be a guest to call in, dial 323-642-1569. 323-642-1569. And let's talk about this thing with the Klans. But let me talk a little bit more about the letter now. Okay. The letter said we don't get along. We hate you. We can't wait till you guys are off the planet Earth so we can have Earth all to ourselves. Could you imagine what it would be like to have a whole Earth with only one culture of people that hate each other? How long would it be before they started hating each other? Well, I don't know. But anyway, this is why, you know, I, Eddie Jones, on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, thought I'd take out the time to analyze and evaluate the Klans. Are they the power that they claim to be, or are they just blowing smoke in vain? I want you to call in and give your opinion. Remember, we don't do hate on this show, okay? I mean, they can hate everywhere else, but I'm not about hating. I'm about unconditional love. I'm about understanding. I'm about communication, because to me, communication is the key to getting things done. Let's use, for an example, the way that they're doing President Barack Obama. I love President Barack Obama, but they don't want to sign things into legislation that need to help all the people, all of America. When they treat him bad, they're making us look bad to all the other countries. I mean, all the other presidents around the world are looking at President Barack Obama going, hey, what's going on with your Republicans? How come they won't help you sign a bill to get things into legislation for illegal immigration or whatever? Or get the bill in for Obamacare or whatever. I mean, come on. He's the president. He has a job to do. He has to take care of the United States of America and everything around us. But let's not get off the subject. The subject is the Ku Klux Klan and their letter that they wrote to everybody who was not their their race. Okay? I think it's just bad. I really do. I think it's bad. And we need to do something about it. And I'm going to be right back. I just want you to listen to some music here, and let's see if we can get this song on here for you, okay? And I want you to listen to the song, and it's called, let's see if we can get it here. It's called The King Within the Corner. Be right back. I don't know what's up there.
Help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know the change gon' come.
Okay, we're back. You know, I wanted you to hear that song because that song just makes me think about the civil rights movement and the history of America, and a change is going to come, and a change has come, and changes are continuing to change every day. You know, we're living in an ever-changing, ever-evolving world. Between the social media and technology, it's easier to get things that you want to say out there to whoever you want to. Even to the masses, you no longer need Channel 2, 4, 7, 11, and 13 and CNN to get your news and your messages out there. You can use the social media, just as we're doing right now. I really believe that the Klans have a lot of nerve and a lot of guts to send a letter out like this and no signature at the bottom. That we don't know who it came from. All we know is it's a hate letter. I just want to say to everyone out there that's listening to the Eddie Jones Talk Show right now on Faces of Success Radio that I hope you make it your job to share some love with somebody, to shake a person's hand, to say hello, to treat people with dignity and honor and respect, to give people the benefit of doubt. We all need to spread love. We don't need to spread any hate. We don't need to hate on each other. We don't need to talk about each other. We don't need to put each other down. We need to lift each other up. I just don't see any room in the world for some of the things that have went on in the past with this so-called group called the Ku Klux Klan. They walk around in sheets. Some of them took off sheets and put on police uniforms and badges and now are licensed to kill. I'm not saying all that officers are like that, but we have some who have that type of attitude out there, and we don't need any people who hate people on the police force. We don't need people who hate people in positions at jobs to belittle people. We don't need people who are supposed to be authority figures abusing their authority. That's way out ridiculous. I don't have time for it. I don't have time for it at all. I just think it's really rude and unbelievable. I want to see if I can have a caller here. Just want to see if I have a caller here. We're going to go hot for a second here. Okay. Caller, hello?
Hi, this is Tina.
I'm sorry, who's this? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm sorry, say your name again.
This is Tina.
Hello, Tina. How are you today?
Hi, how are you? Doing great.
I'm doing fine. Welcome to the Eddie Jones Talk Show. I'm so glad you're calling. Could you tell us where you're calling from, Tina?
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. All right. How's the weather out there?
The weather is nice and hot. It's sunny today. Of course, I'm no fan of the heat, but it's a gorgeous day.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you called in. Now, I just want to ask you one question. How do you feel about hate?
Well, considering I'm a child of God, I have no hate inside of me. You know, God is love, so therefore I am love, and I love everyone. You know, despite, you know, the hatred that so many people have on, you know, my culture and my race, you know, it does not allow, I don't allow myself to be bitter and turn that way. I just pray for them.
Wow, that's really beautiful. That's beautiful. No, go right ahead. I didn't mean to stop you. Go ahead. Please share.
Yeah, you have to, you know, I think spreading hate is if we cannot allow hate, you know, because love is what conquers everything. So some people don't, I don't know what it is that people have against our race, but we're just another people. When we bleed the same color. We bleed red. There's nothing any different about us. You know, in the dark we're the same.
You know, I was thinking, you know, because, Tina, we bleed red. We have a left and right leg to put our pants on. And no matter who you are, no matter what color you are, you got to wash your face and brush your teeth in the morning. Everybody has to go to the same grocery stores, the same arenas to see concerts and football games and baseball games. I just don't get the hate thing, especially from this group called the Klans.
Well, you know, the Klan, I don't know, maybe deep down they're threatened by our culture, our race. I'm not sure why. Maybe because we're strong individuals. We have endured a lot of things. We have come from a lot. And, you know, maybe they're threatened by that. Some people don't know how to handle that, you know, that strength in people. And we have gone through a lot, and we have been through a lot, and we have conquered a lot, you know. But the Klan are people that belong to the enemy. They don't belong to God.
I agree with you. That's not of God to hate everybody and be anti whatever of every culture except for your own.
Absolutely.
That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tina, I want to thank you for coming on the show. But do you can you sing?
Yes, I sing. You know, I'm not the most confident in my singing, but I do sing.
You do sing.
I do sing.
So I'm just asking. I mean, because in the middle of all this heated up conversation about hate and the Klans, maybe we can cool it off for a second with maybe a song from you or something about like that. I mean, can you do a song for us?
Yeah, I think I could do something really, really brief for you.
Really brief.
I won't sing the entire song. Just something brief.
Okay. Is it a cappella?
Yes, it's a cappella. I don't have any music.
No, a cappella is fine. But so everybody out there that's listening, this is Tina La Rosa, and she's going to share a song with us. And meanwhile, we're still thinking about the Klans talk and everything, but we're going to cool it off a little bit with this song. So, Tina, what's the name of your song?
The name of the song is called Waiting for the Last Tear to Fall. It's by the late, great Phyllis Hyman.
I'm a big fan
of hers, so I'll just make it brief for you guys.
Oh, no. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
All right. Here we go. Another day awaiting of this storm. The rain has come to stay since you've been gone. Oh, isn't that the way with heartache? Seems it's never gonna go away. Then you put yourself together, the sun is shining again. Now I'm waiting for the last tear to fall. I've got to put the past behind me and get on with it all. Waiting for the last tear to fall. I've been crying for too long.
Well, Tina, I want to give you a big hand. I mean, thank you so much. I mean, that takes a lot of guts. But I just want to tell you something. That song, just for the moment, that song took what we were talking about off my mind just for the moment. But, you know,
yes.
Waiting for the Last Teardrop to Fall, that's the name of the song?
Yes, that's the name of the song, Waiting for the Last Tear. And, you know, I think all of us want to wait till the last tear to fall where we no longer have to cry over these type of issues in our world. You know, we should be able to unite. We should not be able to cry another tear over this stuff. You know, prejudice, hatred, it's just unnecessary and it's unwanted. It's just not needed.
Well, let me ask you a question, you know, because, like, do you remember, like, the Freedom Riders?
Yes, I think I do remember the Freedom Riders.
Well, the Freedom Riders are the ones who wanted to help, you know, fight against racism and the Klans, and, you know, I mean, come on, they were, like, burning flags in people's front yards, and I'm sorry, crosses and who knows what else. I mean, they were doing a bunch of stuff. From, if I can remember in a lot of the history, and I'm sure I can because it seems like only yesterday, they were lynching people and beating people. And even when I think about some of the movies that I've watched, like Roots and Mississippi Burning and, you know, Rosewood and some of those movies that I watched, it just tells a little bit of the history. But who really knows what Harriet Tubman went through? Who really knows what Frederick Douglass went through? Who knows what they went through in that time? You know, Benjamin Banneker and other great African-American people who helped pave the way for us to be where we are today, Dr. Martin Luther King, Mr. Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, Cesar Chavez, and a host of other people, who helped fight for where we are, Gandhi, and all the other great people who believe in peace and joy and understanding. What do you think about that, Tina?
I don't know. You know, it's something to definitely think about. It's something that I think crosses our minds daily, like just to what degree did these people go through, you know, just to find freedom, just to find peace, you know. You know, sometimes we just know that they went through it and we were like, well, we didn't have to go through it. It was because, you know, but sometimes you have to, like, really put yourself in that place and in your mind and, you know, just think about the degree of the torture and the things that they had to endure. You know, it is because of them that we are able to live more freedom, you know, more freedom in our lives. But sometimes we still feel, I feel anyway, for me, like I'm still in captivity. You know, when you look around and you look at the hatred and you look at all the things that's going on, you go, where, and you think about Martin Luther, you know, Luther King's dream. You know, his dream was for all of us to come together in peace, no matter what race, creed, culture, you know, it doesn't matter. That was his dream, you know, and that is my dream. So I'm, you know, having a heart of God, it really, really, really bothers me when I can't see the unity that, you know, he worked so hard for, that, you know, God intended for his people to have. You know, that breaks my heart because, you know, it's just not necessary. We're letting the enemy, we're letting evil, we're letting hatred take over our hearts and our minds. And for what? For division?
You're right, Tina. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I look at the news, and I look at, matter of fact, speaking of the news, I don't know if you remember in Texas, Jasper, Texas, some haters, I guess they were racist haters, took a mentally retarded African American man, and they said they were going to give him a ride, and they drug him with the back of their truck and dismembered his body. Do you remember that?
You know what? It sounds familiar. I'm not, you know, I vaguely remember it, but it does sound familiar. You know,
No, go right ahead, Tina.
No, it's just not unheard of. You know, so much of that is happening now. People are just, I don't know, they're getting people and they're dismembering their bodies and murdering them. And for what? That's what's always my question. And for what? What does that do for you?
And, you know, and bombing a church, you know, I mean, who would have the audacity to bomb God's house? I mean, come on, bombing a church?
Only evil can do that. You know, only evil can do that. And what I'm understanding is everybody is not of God. Everybody's not of the light. You know, you have children that belong to God, and you have children that belong to Satan. So that's one thing I'm saying.
I apologize for interrupting you so abruptly, but there's a movie out about, I think it's called Anarchy, Purge Anarchy or something, where, like, for a certain amount of time, you can go out and kill and do anything you want to do. You know, Of course, I'll never go and see the movie, but
no.
It's a movie that's out, and it's kind of like, to me, it's like promoting this type of activity. Yes, it's a movie now, but the movie about the Ebola virus that came out about 15 years ago was just a movie, too, until it really hit and did what it did and killed all those people, and then they had to use some government agency to go in and kill up the whole tribe of people where the Ebola virus got out. So I'm just saying things come on as a movie and then they become a reality. So I'm praying I'm praying that we never have a time where you can go out and just mayhem and kill anybody for 24 hours straight without any police on the streets or nothing like that. That would be a sad day in America.
You know, it really would be a sad day in America, but you know, in a sense, it's kind of happening now. I mean, look at the police brutality. Look what they're doing. They're just out, and they're just killing people.
Yeah, you know? And it's amazing. It's amazing how many people have died from police brutality. And yes. That was a topic that we discussed on the first show. And that was a lot of people chimed in on that and called in and spoke about it and how they felt. And a lot of people, a lot of families are affected by police brutality, believe it or not.
Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't even have to happen within your own family. Just seeing that, you know, if you have a heart for anything, if you care about anything, I mean, naturally seeing something like that will bother you. It will shake you in your spirit, you know. So it's just something I think we just have to really, really pray for these people and cover these people. And, you know, like, you know, God said, you know, never repay evil for evil. That's what he said.
Well, do you think the Ku Klux Klan would ever walk down Crenshaw Boulevard in Los Angeles in the middle of the heart of South Central?
Absolutely not.
Do you think that they would walk down the main strip in Atlanta?
That's a good question. You know what? In a sense, yeah.
Really?
You know, it's like, you know, the KKK is really, they're really funny to me. And what I mean by that is they have a certain boldness in certain areas. And then they're kind of cowards in another.
I couldn't agree with you more.
No,
go right ahead. Go right ahead, Tina. I'm excited.
Yeah, you have them walking around in the sheets, but, you know, and then now some of them are trying to get bold and walk around and take the sheets off. You know, why the sheets? Because they're white and you're white supremacy? Well, we already know white people up under the sheets, so why do you need to wear the sheets? See, it's not about just being white. It's about you don't want people to know who you are. You don't want people to find you. What black person do you know, or ethnic person do you know, would be up on a white sheet in the KKK? We know it's white people.
You know what that makes me think about? That makes me think about, you know, when here you are walking down a road, because back in those days they didn't have any buses or anything, and so you had to either be on a horse or you had to walk. And imagine walking down a road to go to school or get home from school, and here comes 10 guys on horses in white sheets with torches and shotguns and knives.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I
think if one came by itself in a sheet, I mean, you know, you have some options, you know, maybe two. But when you see 10 of these guys coming, what do you do? And so when I look at that, I say, wow, it takes all these people to go and get one person and kill them. They can't do it. I mean, to me, that's a cowardly act. You know, to go and attack one person and do whatever you do or whatever you're going to do to them. And I don't see that happening in 2014. I really don't. I don't think the Klans would ever walk down Crenshaw or in the heart of anywhere where there's a lot of young Latino and African-American and any other ethnicity. I don't think they would walk in the middle of their group and do something. They would probably plan to do something to maybe one of them or something, or maybe two or something, but not to a group of people. What do you think?
No, I actually agree. I just really don't think they would do anything like that. It's like you just made a really good, valid point. You know, it's not going to be one KKK just walking down the street. No, he's too cowardly for that. You know what I'm saying? He's like, no, I got to have a group. And then, you know, they feel like, all, like you said, 10 people can go to one, let's say, black person or a Latino person and beat them dead. You know what I'm saying?
You know what, Tina, what if it was a gay person, because they're anti-gay, too?
Yeah, they're anti-gay. It's the same. It's the same thing. I mean, it's a hate. It's a hate crime.
They don't like Jews. They don't like blacks. They don't like Latinos. They don't like Asians. Mm-hmm. They don't like Filipinos. They don't like anybody except you.
It's
gotta
because
be
because they have the word supremacy, white supremacy. That's why they don't like anything ethnic.
You know what? I say supremacy does not apply to that group of people. There's no supremacy
right.
in that whatsoever. I see that as weak. I see that as a need to run in big numbers to prove something that really doesn't need to be proved, because actually love overwhelms hate. So I'm just saying we're going to keep on loving on them too. We're going to pray for them.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Absolutely. That's what you do.
But remember now, David had to fight Goliath, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so then I guess we just have to fight the battle of this hate stuff. We got to fight that battle with love.
This is the only way. I mean, fighting with hatred is only spreading hatred. It's like suppressing the love. You can't do that. You know, so if we keep giving love while they're hating, what are we giving more of?
That's right. I agree, we're giving more love. And, you know, Tina, I just want to thank you for calling in. You made some very interesting points, some very valid points, and we were able to, what you might call, chop it up a little bit, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Let's chop it up more. That's what the topic is about. That's what this is about, you know. So let's do this. Let's fight hatred with love, you know. Let's not repay evil for evil. And that is what the Lord has said.
So, Tina, now, you know, I'm going to have to ask you to come back on the show again and sing another song for us. Do you think you can do something for us another time, you know, like maybe next week or something?
I surely hope so. I would love to. Let's see what we could do.
That's cool. I know it's a very complex, hard song, but, you know, I love the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, that is a hard song.
But for some reason, I hear you in your voice. You sound like you can do it in your own tone, and it would come out perfectly well. But I won't hold you to that. Whatever you bring to the table, we're gonna sit down and eat. All right.
All right. That sounds cool to me.
Well, I want you to have a wonderful day. I want to thank you for coming on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. I want to thank you for sharing your opinion and your views, and I also want to thank you for talking about God, because we don't talk about God enough. Okay.
We don't, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
I can tell, Tina, and you know what? God's greatest commandment is that we should love one another, right?
Yes.
You know, and so I guess I'm just going to end our conversation with, you know, love and understanding and blessings, and the clans don't have the power or the authority, and I'm going to keep talking about it, but I'm just not going to give them any power. How about you?
Oh, no power at all. You know, there's only one thing with power, and that is the power of the blood of Jesus. There is power in His name. That's where power lays. It does not lay in hatred. It does not lay in anything else. There is power in the name of Jesus, and that is where it is. That's where it lies.
All right. Well, Tina, thank you for coming on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. I'll talk with you again soon. God bless your day, and thank you for your comments.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you. You guys have
You're
a blessed
welcome.
One.
You have a blessed one, too. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I want to thank Tina for calling in. Tina, thank you for the song. Thank you for calling in and talking about this hot topic of the Ku Klux Klan and this letter about hating people. The letter said, you people keep killing each other. You people keep shooting each other. All you do is kill each other and shoot each other. And when I read the letter, I'm kind of like, okay, now it's time for me to tell the people on the radio today, okay, you guys, we got to make this not true. We got to stop the black-on-black crime, the black-on-brown crime, the brown-on-brown crime, and any other kind of crime against one another. We need to stop it. And that way they can't write one of these letters and say that this is all we do to each other. Because it's not all that we do to each other. We have young entrepreneurs. We have people who own all kinds of businesses, people who are in college and making a difference in society. People have grown into politics and doctors and lawyers and attorneys and astronauts and cosmonauts and DJs and football players and basketball players and all kinds of stuff. We're not sitting around just shooting and killing each other. So that's a wrong message. So I don't want to I don't send that message out just because that came in that letter. That doesn't mean that that's what everybody's doing. Those are some words that somebody put together on a piece of paper that I don't agree with. And if you don't agree with it, just call on in and let's talk about it. That's our topic right now. Our topic is the Ku Klux Klan and the hate letter that they sent out to everybody. It was on Facebook. It was all over Facebook. If you go on my page and you search for it, you'll find it, and you can read it for yourself. And, oh, yeah, by the way, before I go to this break, I dare you, who's ever listening, to go look up the Willie Lynch Law right now. Look up the Willie Lynch Law and just see what the Willie Lynch Law says. Just read it. Just read the Willie Lynch Law, and I want you to read it. And then come back, and I'll tell you exactly what it says. And I want to know something. Are we still living up under the Willie Lynch Law? I mean, are we still living under what this man went and taught the slaves, house against the field against the house, light against the dark, brown eyes against the black eyes, straight hair against the nappy hair, and all that other stuff. That was what was taught to the slave masters 400 years ago. 400 years ago. And that means that I would tell on you and you would tell on me. If you lived in the house, you ate the house food. You dressed in the house clothes. You had a chance to get the victuals from master. But if you were out in the field, you wore field clothes. You ate field food. You did the things out in the field that the house person did not get to do. And the house person did things that the field person could not do. And, of course, the field person would say, are you okay, Massa? Are we sick? Because he knew that if Massa got sick, he wouldn't get no victuals or no food or anything. So he wanted to take care of Massa to make sure Massa was okay. Now, that was slavery. And to me, slavery was hatred. And all these other groups have gotten their 40 acres and a mule. Okay? So I'm saying, when are we going to get our 40 acres and a mule? And not just in money, in love, in understanding, and communication with one another. So nobody can write a letter about one certain group or any two groups, whether you're black or brown. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what color you are. It matters with how you communicate with people. You know, it's all about love. And like I said, I'm not going to give the Klans no energy, okay? They don't get any energy from me, okay, because they don't dictate what I do. I create my own schedule. I create my agenda. I say what I need to say that has to do with positivity. I love people. I don't care who you are. If we can talk about it, we're going to be all right. But if I see that there's some hate involved, oh, well, see you later. Hasta la vista. Serenata. Goodbye. All of the above. I don't have to be in your presence. I don't have to hang out with you because you hate somebody. Okay? We live in a free world. We have civil rights, human rights, and constitutional rights. However, I remember the group called the Black Panthers, the Black Panther Party. And I don't know if you remember the history of the Black Panther Party, but the Black Panthers they went under the amendment that they had the right to bear arms. But before they did that, that was to protect their community where some hate groups came over there and ran and killed one of the girls in their community. So what they did was they said they were going to protect their children in the community that was going to school. And that's not the only reason why they started the Black Panther Party, but everybody doesn't know. But just in case you didn't know, Eldridge Cleaver and the Black Panther Party, they were college graduates. They went to school. They had college degrees. They were the first ones to give away free food programs before the government ever started it. Yes, that's right. Before the government gave out blocks of that cheese, you remember that government cheese they used to give out? And you couldn't even melt it. But a lot of people love that cheese. But the Black Panther Party was giving away breakfast and lunch to the kids in the community before the government started ever doing it. And I want you to remember never to forget that. And so I'm saying, if you're going to have a group, you know, let your group be a group of love. It's just too much hate going on. You know, I'm never going to promote that letter on my page again. This is the last day that letter is going to be on my page. And I left it there, and it received so many comments. I left it there because I want people to read and see the audacity of some groups who have the I don't know where to get it from, just to go and stick something like this on Facebook and then let people read it. And all it does is, I guess it does what it wants you to get upset, and of course it upset me. So that's why I'm talking about it today, because it's upsetting to see anti-anything, okay? We see the war going on over there in Israel, and between Israel and Palestine, but we also see Russia in the cut. So I don't want to see any hate. When I turn on the news, I don't want to see innocent kids being blown up by missiles coming over to their school and blowing up their school. It doesn't matter where they're from. I don't want to see any kids dying in the streets. They're trying to get an education. They shouldn't have to deal with war. Who wants to grow up and graduate from high school, and as soon as you graduate from high school, you go to war, and then you never come back? It's crazy. Wow. So we're on the topic right now of the Klans and their hate letter, and I don't want to give it too much more power, but we have a few more minutes to talk about it. So while we're talking about it, I just hope the message just gets out there to everybody, and that you tell somebody else that the Klans don't have the power or the authority anymore. They're not the group, you know. Like Tina made a good point. They come out in droves, and they have to attack one person, and I made that point also. They're cowards. Anytime you got to hide behind anything instead of being yourself and revealing who you really are, maybe the problem lies within you. Maybe you need to check yourself. Look in the mirror, like Michael Jackson had a song called Man in the Mirror. Maybe you Klan members, wherever you are, if you're out there listening, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because I thank God that the FBI is involved now. They investigate the Klans, and they investigate other groups too. But I'm glad they're bringing them to justice, and people are suing the Klans and winning. I think that's why the Klans don't have the money they used to have. They've been sued umpteen times. Look it up on the internet. They've been sued for using a whole bunch of things they shouldn't be using, certain words, certain actions, you know. So they slowly but surely, they're paying for what they're doing, you know. And I don't know. We serve a mighty God, and he can fix these kind of things. So when these people think they're doing something wrong out there, they're not doing anything. These hate groups, they're not doing what they think they're doing. They think they're affecting the whole world, but they're not. They're infecting themselves. That's what they're doing. Look, I'm going to take a pause for the cause. I'm going to take a quick little timeout. This song right here, it says it all in a nutshell. None other than the late, great, wonderful, fantabulous Mr. Michael Jackson, Black or White.
about being a color.
Do you agree with me when I saw you kicking dirt in my eyes?
I guess that says it best, you know, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all about love and understanding and communication. That's what it's always been about, you know. We have to practice not allowing other people to steal our joy, okay? So, yes, I read the letter. I read the Klan's letter. I'm sure by now a lot of you have read the letter. And I'm sure, did you guys go and look at Willie, did you Google Willie Lynch? If you Google that and you read it, the Willie Lynch Law, that will help you to understand why some of the people still hate on each other the way that they do. Because it was taught. And people teach hate. I mean, when people tell their kids, don't like that group because of that so-and-so certain color, or, you know, whoever it is, if you're telling your kids that don't like somebody for whatever reason it might be, you're not giving that kid a chance to grow up and be who they want to be. And, you know, for those people who say, okay, well, I don't want my kids because you're a certain color. I don't want you hanging with those black kids, or I don't want you hanging with those brown kids. Well, I'll tell you this out there, public, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are. I know it's not falling on deaf ears. All you have to do is go in your kid's room between the ages of 12 and 17 years old. I guarantee you're going to see Beyonce on their wall. You're going to see Jay-Z on their wall. You're going to see Lil Wayne on their wall. And you're going to see all kinds of different nationalities on their posters on their walls, okay? Because these kids can't be just thrown into a little box and say, hey, hate everybody. No, we have a new generation of young people growing up, and most of it consists of every nationality the way that it should be, okay? I'm not going to get mad at somebody for their color. I'm not going to get mad because somebody comes from a certain country or talks a certain way or acts a certain way. That's not my job. My job is to spread love. My job is to talk about our human rights, our civil rights, and our constitutional rights. And we do have a right to be friends with whoever we want to be with. We do have a right to talk to whoever we want to talk to. We do have a right to communicate and share and all that good stuff. So, hey, you know, what's the problem? What is the problem? What's the problem? I'm proud of everybody, okay? I'm proud of you. If you're out there spreading love, I'm proud of you. That's what we need to be talking about, spreading love. We have another hot topic coming up in a minute. We're going to talk about gang violence and the no snitch policy in our next hour. Gang violence and the no snitch policy. I do want you to call in. We have a guest coming on the show named Ms. Tammy Simpson. She lives in Dallas, Texas. And I'm going to let her tell her story. But if we have any mothers out there, and I'm sure we do, that have lost your child behind gang violence or inappropriate activities, please call in to the show. Please call in, we want to hear your story. But we're going to be – our special guest is Ms. Tammy Simpson from Dallas, Texas. She'll be coming on – excuse me. She'll be coming on in a little while. And when she does, I'm going to give her the floor and let her share her story. And she has some things coming up, and looking forward to supporting her and participating with her in her activities and the things that she's doing out there to make change. Okay, now let me tell you something. We talked about Willie Lynch. I'm advising you that if you haven't read the Willie Lynch Law, please do so. Just Google Willie Lynch. That's really easy. I also want you to do something else. I want you to send out a positive letter on Facebook to somebody today. Just get on Facebook right now or get on Twitter right now and just tell somebody you love them. When's the last time you told somebody that you haven't told that you love them? Okay? So this is a good time to do that. You know, you can even send one to me. You know, my email address, if you want to send some love or a letter or how you feel about this show or something, you want to tell me a show that you would like to see come on or something or something that you want to talk about, you can reach me at eddiejusticejones@gmail.com. 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 Send me your views. You know, you can email me how you feel about the show. If there's some upcoming shows that you want to talk about, whether it's illegal immigration, marijuana, our President Barack Obama, politics, anything that has to do with any kind of discussion, we can talk about it on the Eddie Jones Talk Show because that's what this is all about. I want to give a shout-out to everyone who's listening. Thank you for your support. I want to give a shout-out to the Susan Miller Dorsey High School. That's, yes, I graduated from Dorsey High. Yes, I did. And I want to give a shout-out to my class and all classes at Dorsey High School. I want to give a shout-out to our rivalry school across the way, Crenshaw High School. We love you, Crenshaw High. We love our youth and we love our kids. We just want you to make sure that your kid is getting started with school good this year. Make sure you tell them about peer pressure and don't let them people do the bullying and all that. That's hate, too. Bullying is hating, you know what I mean? And that's what the Klans are trying to do. They're trying to bully somebody, okay? But they can't do it. They can't do it. They can't bully us. We're not going to let them bully us. It's out. It's not happening, okay? It's not going down, okay? Huh. Well, I think it's about time for another song. Right before we get into our next show, I think that we should do one more song. And I want you to listen to the song. And I'll be right back. I'm going to take a short pause for the calls, and then I'm going to close out with some closing remarks, and we're going to fade right into part two of the Eddie Jones Talk Show. All right. Peace. Hold on.
Give me what I need. I'm so proud that I'm so proud.
Oh, yeah. I just thought I'd share a little Angie Stone because, you know, when she says brother, you know, I mean, we're talking about all the sisters and brothers, okay? It don't matter where you live, where you from. We all sisters and brothers. We're all related some kind of way. When the sooner we learn that, the sooner we're going to find out that we all need each other. We can all be of different shade of color, but we all have something in common. We breathe the same air. We bleed the same blood. We eat food. We go to the doctor. We work a job. We take care of ourselves and our families and our children. This is what we do as human beings. This is what we do on earth. This is why God put us here. He didn't put us here to kill each other and to hate each other. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the Klans, they can keep writing letters all they want to, but do I have to read them? No, I don't have to read them. Will I post them on my page anymore after this show? No, I won't. Will I be concerned or worried about what they're going to do? No. As long as they don't affect me and mine and the people that I love, I'm fine. However, we do have a plan of action in case things get out of hand. We always have to have a plan of action when things get out of hand. We need to always, always be able to protect ourselves against hate and protect ourselves against hateful acts. One of the ways that we can do that is we can continue to put things into legislation. When things are on paper, it makes more sense. People understand things when it's documented. I think it's been documented many times of some of the hate that's taken place across this United States of America and abroad. We need to continue to strive for peace and understanding and for joy. We need to continue to fight the power. We got to fight the powers that be. And speaking of that, we got a minute into our next show. And before we go into our next show, I just want you to continue to warm up for our next show, which is gang violence and the no snitch policy. And while we're waiting on that, I want to share this with you. Check this out.
Just 100 years after Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves, 200,000 people converge on the nation's capital to rally for civil rights. They come by train. They come by bus and by air. They come from the north, the south, the east, and west. They come united in one cause, to urge Congress to pass a civil rights bill to end forever the blight of racial inequity. By 11:30, there are more than 200,000 thronging the mall, a crowd that is bigger than the most optimistic forecasts. Now there's a growing animation. It seems as if the demonstrators were finding strength in each other, had discovered their cause was a bond. Arrests in Washington were below normal. Police attribute this to the fact that for the first time in 30 years, you couldn't even buy a beer in Washington. The civil rights marchers needed no stimulants like that. They provided their own, with songs that range from the sacred to the hillbilly, but with the one recurring theme, the cause of 20 million Negroes. Washington, D.C., 1963. Democracy speaks in a mighty voice.
Well, I just wanted you to listen to that. Well, we're going to be going into our next hour here. And I just wanted you to leave you with that. I mean, you know, we're still fighting for civil, human, and constitutional rights. Okay, we are done with the Klan discussion. We are done with the Klan discussion. We're going to be going to our next guest on our show today, our guest today. And I want to thank Tina LaRosa for calling in and singing a song and sharing with us on that half of the show. But we're going to be talking to Ms. Tammy Simpson. And we want to get Ms. Tammy Simpson on the line here. Let's see if we can get her on. Hello, Tammy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hi.
I'm here.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Okay. Well, please introduce yourself. First of all, welcome to the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. Thank you for coming on, and I want to thank you in advance for what you're about to share with the world. Of course, you know, this is Blog Talk Radio, and you're heard all over the world. So please tell everyone your name and introduce yourself and what we're talking about today.
Hi, my name is Tammy Simpson. I am from Dallas, Texas, and today's discussion is going to be about the murder of my son, Troy Causey, by two of his peers, and also an oppressive mentality that is wrecking the very fabric of our communities and our society, which is no snitching. that's going to be that particular subject has hindered my son's case. And we want to discuss today how we can find solutions to combat that.
Okay, well, before we start talking about, tell everybody where you're from, where you're calling from right now, what city you're in and state and all that good stuff.
Okay, yes, I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
And so in Dallas, Texas, there's a problem just like they're here that there is in L.A. and Texas and Atlanta and Louisiana and Mississippi and all across the United States. There's a problem with gang violence and a problem with the no snitch policy.
Yes, that's correct. And as you just stated, it's not just a local problem. It's not just a problem in your local community or my local community. It's a national problem. And quite honestly, it's become a national epidemic because we're losing a lot of lives and these crimes are not being solved.
Well, Tammy, you lost your son back in March, right?
That's correct. March of this year, 2014.
Right. I send my deepest condolences. My heart goes out to you and your family. Could you tell us your son's name, how old he was, and if you don't mind, go right ahead and please tell your story. We're all
My son's name, yes, my son, his name was Troy Causey, Jr. He was 18 years of age. He attended Wilmer Hutchins High School, and he was murdered. He was viciously flamed by two of his peers. One was, first of all, let me say his death has just affected not only our family but an entire community as well as the city, and it has reached out to some people nationally, the circumstances surrounding his murder. His murder was by two of his peers, and how he became to be in the situation he was in, he was recruited by a high school coach. My son was in the juvenile system for about 8 months, and he was recruited there by a high school coach, the high school that he was attending.
Now, Tammy, could you tell everybody what sports your son played and give us a little history about your son? Because from what I understand, your son was a basketball player that could have been well on his way to the NBA.
Yes, my son was a basketball player. He had been playing basketball all of his life. He's been on top AAU. He's been a participant of top AAU programs. I've had him playing basketball, so that's what he loved. That's what he enjoyed. And I saw that early on. And I guess it doesn't help, or I guess it does help that, I was an athlete as well, a former Division I athlete as well. So kind of in his nature to, I guess, grow up to love basketball. And so he was around some very good mentors, some very good coaches that actually played on the professional level, coaches that were just good parent mentors that coached these AAU select teams. And he had quite a future ahead of him. He was very active, very athletic. He was long. He was 6'6", in height, very slim, slender. People compared him to the body build of a Chris Bosh or Kevin Garnett type of body build. Nonetheless, very athletic, and his future was cut short. Very untimely. Very untimely.
Now, with that happening, what we want to talk about is because you said the no snitch policy. What led up to your son getting into this situation? How did this take place? And I'm quite sure it was very devastating for you and your family and the community, being that he was a young man who was well groomed, well taken care of, had mom and dad in the house, doing the best that you guys could to keep him sheltered from this kind of activity. But still, So go ahead and talk about it.
Okay, we were had lots of rules in our home, very, very strict, some may say, even Toro would say. And you got to understand that these children grew up in a society where they're now they're heavily influenced by social media, by what their peers think. So along with trying to raise your child, you're raising your child against, the society. Society can sometimes often take over your child. But what we want to talk about here is how society has affected my son's murder. His case is still ongoing. First of all, I have to say this. His case is still ongoing. It's early. It was 4 months ago my son was murdered, so the investigation is ongoing. However, turn of events in his in this case has been startling, if you will. But what I want to talk about now is how my son was murdered. My son was murdered by two of his peers that he knew. And one of the peers was charged with murder. And the other peer, whom he knows very well, was not charged. Now, the reason he wasn't charged because the defendant did not implicate the other individual. Why he didn't implicate the other individual, you can probably toss it up to the no snitch code, which I think is just very mentally oppressive.
Now let's hold it right there for a second. The no snitch policy, the no snitch code, that to me, that's ridiculous. So you're saying that if somebody sees somebody get killed and they see it, they're not going to tell because of what? Why won't they tell? I'm just asking. Your opinion.
Well, in my opinion, a fear of retaliation. But what they're
fear of retaliation.
Yes.
So do you think the other young men, I apologize, Ms. Simpson, do you feel like the other young man and his people threatened the other guy not to tell or they would do him bodily harm as well?
I think that could be a large contributing factor. Or sometimes I think now this no snitch policy has gone without saying. It's, you don't even have to say that to anyone now, and they just simply follow suit with the understanding that this that retaliation could happen. And again, I think it's mentally oppressive. I think it's a mentality that has been fostered by people in our community that are afraid to speak out. And I have to say this, this theory just didn't develop on its own. I think that people stopped trusting the police. People stopped trusting the police, stopped trusting that they would help them. So in turn, they stopped providing information to the police, carrying on the notion of, well, if I'm not going to be protected, why tell the cops anything? Carry on the mentality, why snitch if the cops can protect us and the criminals remain free anyway? So what's the purpose of snitching? Some responsibility lie in our police departments and some lie in the community. So I think right there it shares an equal responsibility between the people in the community and the police department.
Yes, and Tammy, forgive me for interrupting you so abruptly, but your real message today is that you do want people to go out there. If you see a murder or someone being killed or beat up or whatever it is, they should go and let someone know what's going on. If they see something, they should tell. Is your point
they
today,
should.
Right?
They should because we have to start somewhere. We have to break this cycle somewhere. And when we uphold the no snitching policy, what we're doing is we are fostering behaviors that are able to continue. And these behaviors are criminal in nature. So if a criminal feels that there won't be any repercussions of his violent acts, he's going to commit again. So he's going to be a repeat offender because he knows there are no repercussions. He's not going to pay any price for it. And he's relying on the fact that fear is overwhelming in people's minds if they do step forward and speak up. But our communities are broken down. What happens if one person just stand up and say, okay, I'm going to tell, or I'm going to, you know, alert the authorities on what happened. You know, that could put fear in the criminals to say, hey, well, I have to think twice about committing this crime because there are going to be some serious repercussions. And now some of these criminals are afraid of jail time. I mean, they're big and bad, and they're big and bad walking the streets, but they're really afraid of jail time. So maybe if we start somewhere and instill in these criminals' minds that they are going to be held accountable for their crimes, then they'll think twice about committing those violent acts. But we have to stand up. We have to. Someone has to say something.
Well, let me just for a second. Now, in Dallas, Texas alone, over the last month and a half or 2 or 3 months since your son's death, there's been several other deaths. Would you like to just tell us a little bit about some of the other deaths that have taken place that's surrounding all of this stuff right now? Could you share that with us, Tammy?
One notably, it was an individual in my neighborhood, and I would really encourage for those loved ones to call in. His name was Greg Callahan. He was brutally murdered. Senseless act of violence. That case is still ongoing, and I don't have precise details on that case, but I do know that the crime was senseless. I do know that one of the perpetrators is free, but there were several perpetrators in that crime that all should be in jail. They all should be in jail. They were all involved in a crime.
Yeah. Now, did they shoot the young man? Did they beat the young man? How exactly did they do that?
Mr. Callahan was fatally shot.
He was fatally shot.
Yes, he was murdered.
Oh, my gosh.
In his front yard in front of his wife. So it's cases like this. Pardon me?
I understand that there were other athletes that were killed too. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. A young man by the name of Jared Johnson. He was a freshman at a high school here, and his crime, that investigation is still open because, of course, that happened about a month ago. So his crime is still fresh on his loved ones. He was shot. Someone shot into a crowd. It is unclear whether that Mr. Johnson was the intended target or whether he was a victim of being a bystander, an innocent bystander. It's unclear as the nature of the shooting, as to why the perpetrators shot into the crowd of people. And this young man, he was just minding his own business. It is alleged he was minding his own business, you know, standing out in front of a local shopping center with some friends. And a car drove by and opened fire. So I would love for the relatives of that individual to call in as well and give us more detail on that to let us know exactly what happened. So I'm just a voice piece right now to bring awareness to those other individuals.
Okay, so I want you to we're going to take a short pause for the calls. We're going to be right back. But I don't want you to go anywhere because we're just getting started with you, Ms. Tammy Simpson. And I really appreciate you coming on the show. We're not finished yet. When we come back, I want you to talk about what you're doing to make change in your upcoming events, and then we're going to go back to talk about your son and his life. How about that?
Sure, fine. Great.
Okay, we are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. We're going to take a short pause for the cause. I want you to listen to this, and when we get back, we will come back and finish talking with our guest, Ms. Tammy Simpson. Hold on. We'll be right back.
Just 100 years after Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves, 200,000 people converge on the nation's capital to rally for civil rights. They come by train, they come by bus and by air. They come from the north, the south, the east and west. They come united in one cause, to urge Congress to pass a civil rights bill to end forever the blight of racial inequity. By 11:30, there are more than 200,000 thronging the mall. A crowd that is bigger than the most optimistic forecasts. Now there's a growing animation. It seems as if the demonstrators were finding strength in each other, had discovered their cause was a bond. Arrests in Washington were below normal. Police attribute this to the fact that for the first time in 30 years, you couldn't even buy a beer in Washington. The civil rights marchers needed no stimulants like that. They provided their own with songs that ranged from the sacred to the hillbilly, but with the one recurring theme, the cause of 20 million Negroes. Washington, D.C., 1963. Democracy speaks in a mighty voice.
Yo, check this out, man. We rolling this way. That march in 1963, that's a bit of nonsense. We ain't rolling like that no more. Matter of fact, the young black America, we rolling up with seminars, press conferences, and straight up rallies. Am I right? We gonna get what we got to get. Coming to us. Word up. We ain't going out like that 63 nonsense.
A small march.
Playback.
All right. We are back. Ms. Simpson, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So it was a lot that you just went over in the first few minutes there. I'd like for you to, if you don't mind, share what upcoming events that you have to help battle against the gang violence and the no snitch policy.
Yes, we have a rally coming up September 5th, 2014, this year. It's on a Friday. It is a Stop the Violence rally. It is for all individuals that have lost a loved one to senseless acts of violence. We want you to please come out and show your support. We're going to have one of our city councilmen, Dwayne Carraway, speaking. We're going to have a very notable speaker coming down from New York. We're going to have other speakers of people who have lost loved ones to violence, and of course myself is speaking. And we're going to have you, Mr. Eddie Jones Jr., we're going to have you down to help with the rally, to help to speak to the audience, to help push this agenda, because as we mentioned before, and I know that you've been on board, this is not just local, a local epidemic. This is nationally. We are trying to move this this initiative nationally to the major cities across the country that are experiencing massive numbers of violence, in hopes that we could find a solution. So September 5th next month, the rally is going to be held on the steps of City Hall. And again, we encourage everyone to come out. And we also have future events planned because, there again, we're still fighting for justice for my son's case. And you can Facebook me on Tammy Simpson on Facebook friend me to follow our initiative. And our initiative is the Long Live Troy movement, the Long Live Troy cause, to help fight violence.
Well, first of all, Tammy, I am honored to be a speaker at your rally out there in Dallas, Texas. I'm honored to come there and speak, and I am just honored to be a part of this. This is really a super big thing, and it is something that needs to be talked about, worked on, and also put into legislation. I look forward to myself and your group and other people that are working with you taking this all the way to Washington, D.C. I said this about the police brutality. I'm saying this about the gang violence and the no snitch policy. It has to be put into legislation. I agree with you, Tammy.
Great, yes.
And so
this is a collective effort. And it's a collective effort. And once again, we need more people involved from the community. We need people to stand up. I mean, these acts of violence, you know, and I understand. I understand that, hey, people feel that, hey, well, it's not mine, so, you know, why should I worry? Or, you know, it hasn't happened to me, and Lord, I hope and pray it doesn't happen to me. But what happens when it does happen to you? Why would you wait for it to happen to you before you do something? You know, let's prevent it before it happens to you and do something. Stand up and do something about it.
I couldn't agree with you more. Let's talk a little bit more about your son, and let's talk about your son and what's going on, what happened to your son, the people involved, and when the next court date is. Tell us about your son's history, because he was a great basketball player. You raised him up, and you and your husband raised him to be a great basketball player. Talk about your son.
Oh, yes, wonderful kid. We love him just unconditionally. My son was, and again, it's still a tough, hard, emotional subject for me to talk about because my son is not here. My son was taken away from us. What happened was he was murdered by two of his peers. The actual cause is still up in the air. It's unknown because so many lies have been told from the people who stood and watched his fight and did nothing. And it wasn't a fight. A fight is when two people are being combative, two people are punching each other, this, that, and other. But this was believed to be an attack. As the witnesses first stated in their stories to authorities, they said my son was attacked by three individuals, okay? And that story turned into an attack by three individuals. The witnesses said they didn't see who it was. They couldn't make clear faces of what happened, so they don't know who it was. So, therefore, no more information was given other than the fact that he was attacked by three people. Now, that story turned into first of all, let me back up a little bit. That story was reported to police, okay, that these individuals were unknown. Now, my son was, when I say it wasn't a fight, it was more of an attack. Now, he didn't have a chance to fight back. He was jumped. So my son was punched and knocked out, and as he lay on the ground, he was knocked out, first of all. As he lay knocked out on the ground, he was kicked in the head brutally. He was kicked so viciously. It was like a savage attack on an animal. He was kicked so viciously, he sustained several skull fractures in his head. One fracture measuring 4 inches in width, and he had cranial damage everywhere, which led to massive bleeding on the brain. The crime scene reported blood splatter, high velocity blood splatter that reached out 5 feet 4 inches, which indicates that he was kicked as he bled out of his ear, nose, and mouth due to the brain damage that he suffered. They continued to assert their assault, both individuals. This is alleged from the police report. And with those findings were backed by the medical examiner's report. It is alleged my son had no other defensive wounds on him, which leads to believe that, again, it was an attack. He had no chance to defend himself. Now, the medical examiner's report came back as a murder by blunt force trauma, okay, which that finding was inconsistent to the story that was first told. So my son was declared brain dead, okay? He got worse and worse, and his he could not recover. He didn't have time to recover because, again, it is alleged that when after they beat him brutally, they pulled him in the home. He was beat in the street. They pulled him in the home, and he lied there as they conjure up a story on what to tell authorities. He could have – the paramedics weren't called. Nobody was called, but it's also
Ms. Simpson, excuse me. I want you to repeat what you just stated again. You're saying to me that after they beat him, and it was three guys, and other people were standing around videotaping or whatever, then after he was completely unconscious, they had the nerve to drag him in the house and decide what they were going to do?
Yes, that is correct. That is correct.
That's unbelievable. So they didn't call the paramedics, so they waited for him to kind of like, what, bleed out or something?
Did they wait for him to expire, or
I don't understand.
My method of thinking doesn't go to that level of thinking. My level of thinking is more logical. If you see someone bleeding, blood automatically means call for help. And if you're bleeding in the head, that's a head injury. It means call for help. It doesn't mean play paramedic. It doesn't mean play God. That means call for help. So whatever the motive was to pull my son from the street and back into the home, it was not of good intention. So time lapsed before they called 911. And when my son arrived to the hospital, when I arrived to the hospital, I was in shock. I was in utter shock because the look on my son had the look of death. And imagine these last images of your son are of these images. My son's head was swollen. Yes. Concrete did not do this. When my son was declared brain dead, the perpetrators, the witnesses, quote unquote, went back and changed their story. Changed their story to say my son's two roommates, one of the roommates who plays basketball at a rival high school, he said, oh, hey, I did it. And then the witness, which first of all, both these guys went down to the police station with attorneys, being represented by attorneys. One went down as the suspect and said, hey, I did it. We got into a fight, but I only hit him one time, and he fell and hit his head on the concrete. And the other witness...
Okay, now excuse me for 1 minute. Excuse me for 1 minute, Ms. Simpson. Let's talk about the guy who said that he hit him one time. If you're at liberty to say his name or give us more information, it's up to you if you want to, you know.
Oh, yes, I am at liberty. It's public record. His name is Jonathan Turner. James Madison High School here in Dallas, Texas, Jersey number 1.
Okay, now, is he incarcerated or is he out on the streets?
No, he's currently released on bail. He's released on bail. Okay. On a murder. He's released on bail, but this is what happened. When they changed the story to say, oh, hey, I did it, but I only punched him one time. I knocked him out, and his head hit the concrete. The other guy who showed up with an attorney as a witness, now if you're only a witness, why do you have counsel? He said, hey, I saw it. That's what happened. And he backed his story. But in fact, and then that story, you know, that story came, that was the first story. The first story actually was three strangers. Then it went down to, it was three strangers. Then in the hospital, they were telling us two strangers. Now, see, when you lie, Eddie, the story changes. The story changes.
It really does. I mean, honesty is a good policy, especially when it comes to something like this. That's one of the problems with society now. It's just not any truth, and with the no snitch policy going on behind that, that makes double trouble.
Very, very double trouble. And that's why instead of doing the right thing when these individuals went down and to say, hey, I did it, and then instead of the witness who is alleged to be the other suspect in the case, he said, hey, I saw that's what exactly happened. Well, you know, no one is taking accountability. There's no accountability. And now, so when my son was declared brain dead, and I told you that's when they went down and changed their story. And now it's, you know, it's so he was arrested on the defendant that said, hey, I did it, I hit him. He was arrested on murder because the charges are just what they are, murder. The evidence constitute murder. My son was he died by blunt force trauma to the head inflicted by someone else, murder. His death certificate doesn't say accident. His death certificate doesn't say, you know, accidentally fell on the ground or anything. It says murder, and it says the cause. Now
let me ask you a question, Tammy. Now, we know that the young man's out on bail. Is he still attending school? Is he in high school, college? What is he doing?
All three individuals were 18 years of age, getting ready to graduate high school at the time that this incident occurred. Although the defendant, he's 19. He was an 18-year-old senior. And my son and the other perpetrator was their 18. This defendant, he's released from jail, and I don't know what his plans are. I don't know what his plans are. It is, you know, it's up in the air. I would hope that, first of all, he needs to be back in jail. He needs to be incarcerated because he feels no compassion for what he's done. He's taken no accountability, nor has he implicated the other suspect in the case, which whom we all know who it is. He just hasn't implicated that person to the right people.
So the young man that hit your son, the one that caused the fatal blow, he is on trial at this time, but he's out on bail. That's what you're saying right now.
No, what I am saying is the defendant that admitted to hitting my son, he's out on bail right now on a lesser charge. The grand jury indicted him on manslaughter instead of murder.
Okay. And then the young man
charged. He's about to go to college. He's free as a bird. He's thinking nothing's going to happen to him because of whatever reason. That's just his, you know, method of thinking, I suppose. He feels he didn't commit a crime, but in fact he did. And he knows he did, but he knows, or he feels, should I say, that nothing is going to happen to him through this cycle of mental oppression, which is called no snitching.
So actually, in reality,
he's in college.
The reality is he's an accessory to murder, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 110% without shadow of a doubt.
And is it true, now I'm just asking, is it true that a statement was made was, we didn't mean for it to go this far?
Yes, we have evidence that, and again, this case is ongoing, but this is something that was gathered by someone else. The defendant is stated as saying they didn't plan for this to go this far. So you tell me, what does that statement mean? To me, it means premeditation. You plan to beat my son. You planned to do it. If you didn't mean for it to go that far, what exactly was your intent?
It sounds premeditated to me too. If you say we didn't mean for it to go this far, I mean, that sounds very premeditated.
And it's very hurtful. Mm-hmm. It's very hurtful because this is someone they call their brother. This is someone that you're currently, you know, putting hashtag, you know, using my son's name. You're using, you know, you're using his goodness to try to make yourself look good. But in actuality, if he was such your brother, you know, why would you fight him? Even if my son initiated the fight, why would you fight back? I don't fight my brother. I don't fight my sister. I don't fight my loved ones, you know. And you're an adult, you know.
Mm.
You're an adult. They call my son their brother. But my son is dead, and no one has reached out to me to apologize. They've all said lies in the hospital. They lied to me as I was grieving, begging, praying God that my son would survive this. They lied to me and said they did not know what happened when, in fact, they all did. Now, I don't see any love there. I don't see any compassion there, and they all should be in jail. Everyone that was involved in my son's murder and the cover-up of the murder should be in jail.
Okay, well, I want you to hold that thought right there, Ms. Simpson. Okay, everybody out there, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. We're talking to Ms. Tammy Simpson, and she's talking about gang violence and the no-snitch policy, and she's talking about her son that she lost. And she lost her son, and no mother or father or family should lose their son. It's hurting. So we have to do something about it, you guys. We got to make change. We have to protect our young men and women out there. We have to go ahead on and tell the truth about whatever's going on. If something is wrong, we need to go ahead on and tell. If we see a murder or a killing or we see something that's wrong, we need to share that with someone. We do need to tell somebody. We need to tell the police department. We need to tell somebody. We just can't let murderers walk around and continue to be murderers, because guess what? If they murder once, they're going to murder again. We're going to be right back. I just want you to put your ears on this, and hopefully this will sink into the resonance of your heart and mind. This is from our late, great Tupac Shakur, Dear Mama.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, I'm scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. I said cheers with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen. Mama, I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, you all appreciate it.
All right. I just wanted to play a little bit of Dear Mama because, you know, that song has a little meaning to it. And I think Tupac's message in that song is that he's trying to say, you know, Mama, I appreciate you. I love you for everything you've done for me. No matter what, you know, you're all that and a bag of gold chips that can't be crushed. Tammy, are you there? Miss Tammy Simpson, are you there? Tammy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, all right. So I thought we got broken up there. All right, so we're back on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Tammy. And just want to ask you a question now. The case is coming up. Can you share the court date and the place where it's at in case people want to come and support and people want to come to the court date and support you? And how do they do that?
There's no court date set yet. This has not gone to trial. So there is nothing really to report now on the case. But however, any court date that does come up around this case, the prosecuting the case does definitely, he lets me know, and we go out there with our team of supporters for my son Troy to show unity and show that the community indeed, in fact, loved my son, and this was a life that they cared about that was lost senselessly. So,
okay, can you tell us the website where people can go and to your website? Do you guys have a website?
We don't have a website. We are in the works of getting my son's foundation up and going, but we currently have a donation website set up, www.remembertroy.org. That's www.remembertroy.org, in order to donate funds to help our cause. This is going to be a long journey, and indeed we need help with funding to fight this cause. And this is just not my son's fight. This is a fight for everyone who's lost a child or a loved one to senseless acts of violence. And we need to, this initiative is trying to find solutions because there's a breakdown. There's a breakdown in our society. There's a breakdown in our justice system. And so we need to have solutions. We need to come together. We need to hold town hall meetings in major cities across the country. We need to get the police force and the community on the same page. We need to find solutions. And it starts with somebody. And I feel that I had to stand up and fight, not just for my son, which is it goes without saying, I fight for all of my children. And my son's life meant something to me. And I want to help save someone else from losing a loved one, because this pain is not a place where you want to be. And so pain creates change. Pain has definitely created change in me, and it's prompted me to make change as a whole in the way we all live and think.
I agree with you, Tammy. And not only do I agree with everything that you said, but strength runs in numbers. And when we have numbers to support your cause, that's what makes change too. And I'm behind you, with you 100%. I want to see change in gang activities around the United States. I want to see, you know, in the city of Chicago a couple of weeks ago, I think 40 people were shot over the weekend, including an 11-year-old girl. And the gang problem has gotten really out of hand, and it needs to be put into perspective, and we need to create more opportunities for the gang members that don't want a gang member be in a gang anymore. Maybe they want to get out and get a job. Maybe they're tired of going to jail. But maybe some of the big guys, which they call the big homies, are encouraging them to do wrong, and at the same time encouraging them not to tell when they do wrong. So we
That's
want to
correct.
Fight against them. We want to fight against that. So let's talk more about your actions and what you want to see done and what you're going to do with making change for Troy's legacy.
Yes, we're going to what I want to say is that, you know, it's not all about basketball, because my son's life was bigger than basketball. My son's life meant something to me more than just basketball. So his legacy is going to be, and I want to ensure this, that, you know, my son was a good person at heart. He was a good person, a child at heart. And one thing that I loved about him, and I told him this numerous times, I said, which he's a very tall person, but he was a child at heart. We have two other small children, and he absolutely came down to their level. He adored his sister and brother. He would come down to their level. He would play tag in the house. He would play hide and go seek. He was a child at heart, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed watching that. I enjoyed watching him interact with his sister and brother, and that was taken from me. It was taken from a lot of people, because not only did I enjoy that youthfulness in him, his peers did too. And he was just the type of person to just, everywhere he went, he made friends, and he was just a person to pump up the crowd. People gravitated towards him. They gravitated towards his energy, towards his aura, and they just, you know, he was a very likable person. And some people would find jealousy in that. They would, you know, would probably get jealous of the fact that, you know, and amongst his peers, you have the female interaction jealousy. If all the females gravitate towards you, then of course your male counterparts want to have some type of hint of jealousy there. And but you know, that's how children are. That's how, you know, people think. And I'm not saying that as a cause of his death, but I'm saying as a part of his personality, he did endure some of that. But his legacy is going to be that of a joyfulness. I remember Troy as just, you know, a kind, friendly person, and that's one thing we need. My son didn't go around initiating fights. He didn't do that. He was friends with everybody, no matter whether you were the kid that was poked and prodded in school. He was friends with you. And I wanted to mention, he had a really good friend by the name of Dunisha McQueen. She was known to make Kool-Aid, and people love her Kool-Aid. I guess she made it super sweet. And people loved her Kool-Aid. So my son dubbed her, you know, the ghetto Kool-Aid girl. You know, ghetto Kool-Aid mm-hmm. girl. You know, when you think about it, who wants to be called ghetto, but, you know, that was a liking towards her. And they became very good friends. And she has been so instrumental in support from his peers that it's unbelievable. I love her to death. And my son's legacy is just that of, you know, we're gonna keep love and kindness, keep that going.
Now what you're gonna do is you're gonna do a nonprofit organization, and you're gonna call it it's gonna be called Remember Choi. Is that gonna be the name of the 501c3,
well,
the nonprofit organization?
The working title is. It's several right now. We haven't decided on the working title. That's still in the planning stages. But we do have the Remember Choi. The RememberChoi.org was immediately put up at his desk or something to just give donations to for the family. But we also, to help raise money for the cause, there is a T-shirt that's going around from the hashtag LLT, which is Long Live Choi. Now, we have trademarked that, Long Live Choi. And are selling T-shirts to raise money for our cause. So anyone
Tammy, if they want to get a T-shirt, how can they get a T-shirt? Do you have an email address, or how will they get a T-shirt from you if they want to support you?
Yes, absolutely. They can email me, TYLEROY@hotmail.com. That's TYLEROY@hotmail.com, or they could, and when you email me, please include your name, address, and the size and quantity that you would like, and I'll email you back information regarding the different prices for the shirt. And this is a movement. This is the Long Live Choi movement, because me and my husband, we aim to help everybody. And
that's right.
Because it's a national epidemic. It's not just it's not a black brown thing. You know, it's a national thing. So
yes, it is.
We do aim to help everybody eventually, and this is what we're raising money for, this cause, and your donation will go towards a considerable cause. And as soon as we get our foundation up and going, you'll be able to use it as a tax write-off as well, your donation. But we're making small steps. We are very small. It's just my husband and I, and the help of an organization here called No More Violence Organization. They have been very instrumental in our planning, in our developing of our initiative here. And I want to just take a moment here to share some of her information. Her name is the CEO and co-founder of No More Violence. Her name is Trish Allen. And and she's, like I said, it's of No More Violence. And her number is 972-805-7648. And if you have
Could you say that number one more time in case people didn't get it? And say her name again, please.
Okay, sure. Her name is Patricia Allen. Her number is 972-805-7648. 972-805-7648. She has a nonprofit organization here, and it's a ministry as well that helps victims, families of violence, helps with everything from prayer, support, practically anything that you need. If you need assistance and help with the judicial system, help with contacting the media, they're there for you. And they have been very helpful with my family, and we have nothing but praises for Patricia Allen and the co-founders of this organization. And, again, the name of that organization is No More Violence, and we have the utmost respect for what they're doing here in the community.
Praise God. That sounds wonderful. We're counting down now. So if you could just, like, go into your final thing that you want people to know about what you're doing. And again, you know, my heart goes out to you and your husband. Please give Ro my regards, and all of your family my regards. And I'm so glad that we have had you on the Eddie Jones Talk Show to be a guest and share about the gang violence problem and the no snitch policy and how we can change that and get young people to know that it's okay to tell the truth, and it's not going to it's going to actually help somebody to get some of these murderers and bad people off the streets. So if
yes,
you have some
close I want to close by touching up on the no snitching code, street code again. You know, the threatening nature of the no snitching, this intimidates witnesses and it interrupts trust between communities and authorities. Law enforcement, which is including the enforcement, the authorities, by undermining, it undermines police efforts to involve communities, preventing, solving, and combating these crimes. So this form of mental oppression threatens police agencies' ability to prevent and solve crimes because it impedes investigations, arrests, and convictions, and it literally cripples all efforts of getting justice for families of victims. So when we participate in this no snitching, we're not helping. You know, we're not helping our neighbors. We're not helping the victims. You know, we're not helping. If it happened to us and we don't snitch, it's not helping us. That perpetrator is still out on the street free to commit these crimes. Now, again, one of the changes that need to be made is changes in Texas laws, and we do aim to change some Texas laws regarding this particular issue. Like in my son's case, there were several crimes that were committed before, during, and after my son's murder, but no one has been held accountable, and I just can't fathom that. I can't come to understand that. Somebody, an attorney, please give me a call. Please please address this for me and help me understand this, because this is hurting my soul. And what we want to do is spread this cause nationally. We want to, again, our rally is September 5th at Dallas City Hall. A great speaker is coming down. Mr. Eddie Jones Jr. will be down to help to speak on this cause. And we invite all of you, make your posters, represent your loved ones, wear your shirts. If you want to support Troy Causey, purchase a shirt, or you can just come and make a sign. Show your support for your loved one. Don't let this go unnoticed. Do not let the police know we are here. Stand up, voice your concerns, let the city councilman know that we are here. We are not going away. We need stricter laws. We need enforcement of these laws, and we need the community to stand up in unity to help prevent these crimes. And again,
well,
you can go to remember to.
No,
I'm sorry, you
ahead.
Can go.
Go right ahead.
You can go to www.remembertroy.org and make a donation, and you can email me at tyleroy@hotmail.com, and you can put in the subject line a Long Live Troy T-shirt. Long Live Troy T-shirt. With information, your name, contact number, mailing address, size, and quantity. And I will send you the information, and I will mail you the shirt. Again, and we invite anybody who wants to help with this cause, assist us, please give me a call. 972-363-3760.
Well, okay, Tammy, we're about running out of time here. So first of all, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show as my special guest to talk about gang violence and the no snitch policy. I want to thank you for sharing all that wonderful, pertinent information about the case going on and what you're doing to make change and what you guys are building on. And I want you to know I'm gratified and honored to participate with you in a very, very worthy cause. I want to thank you so much, Tammy. Please give my regards, and may God bless you, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on the show, Mr. Jones.
Anytime. The best is yet to come, and we'll be in touch real soon. So thank you for coming on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio. Thank you, Tammy.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, you guys, you heard it. Okay, we have a couple of minutes left here. We had two very hot topics. The first topic, the Ku Klux Klan, which I think we put that one to bed. It's Rockabye Baby, it's sleep. We won't be talking about that anymore. And then we talked about gang violence and the no snitch policy. And I just think that it's so important. You know, if you see something happen, if you see something go down, you know, please get the information out there. Especially if you see someone get killed. I mean, come on. Don't worry about what people are thinking. Just do the right thing. What if it was your loved one? And as far as the gang violence is concerned, come on, you guys. Stop killing each other, please. And then the clans won't have to write a letter. Come on, guys. If you can hear me out there, stop the killing. Stop the killing. Stop the hating. Just stop it. You know, just don't do it. Look, this is Eddie Jones, president of the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association. We talk about human rights, constitutional rights, civil rights, and also we just talk because it's the Eddie Jones talk show. That's what we do. We talk about it. I'm going to take this last couple of minutes, and I'm going to let you hear this song. I want you all to take it easy out there. Don't let nobody steal your joy. And remember that the best is yet to come. And if you want to see change, either we're going to stand up for something or we're going to fall for everything. So let's make change together with love, joy, peace, and soul. God bless you.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
I want to thank you for coming out to the Eddie Jones Talk Show. I hope you had a good time. I really had a good time. So whatever you do, you take care of yourself. Thank you for coming on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. We'll talk again next Monday, and we'll have a show topic for you that I'm sure you'll like. Take care.